You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Call it a heartbeat. Call it a clock ticking, saying time is running out for the way things have always been. Bob Dylan sang the times they are changing. Jimi Hendrix was the time warp itself. Jimi Hendrix died 40 years ago tomorrow, which means more than a generation has been asked the question.
So, are you experienced?
He's been stuck in Hendrix cosmic crosstown traffic. Heard the wind cry Mary. As a performer, innovator, and demon of the electric guitar, Hendrix stands with Paganini on the violin. Or Liszt on the piano. And someone who ripped the possibilities of music wide open. Not only did he kiss the sky, Jimi Hendrix made it bigger.
Let me prove it to you.
Hard to believe. 40 years ago. You know, I think Jimi Hendrix and Liszt and Paganini would have hung out together.
Well, Hendrix would have been one of the few people able to play Paganini's music
right.
on the guitar.
Exactly. Left-handed, too.
That's
today,
right.
Today we welcome to talk about this 40 years that have passed since Jimi Hendrix left us. Vernon Reid, founder of the hard rock band Living Color. Vernon Reid, thanks so much. Joining us from Hurricane Alley there in Staten Island, New York this morning, right?
Yep, no power. So this is... That was a fantastic introduction, and it's great to be on the show. I am a listener of the show. So.
Oh, thanks, Vernon. Well, what would you add to that legacy? I mean, you perform Hendrix covers all the time. I mean, you're really heavily influenced by Hendrix and carry on the tradition in many ways.
Well, Jimi Hendrix is a singular figure in American musical history and in world musical history. I mean, he was part of a tumultuous decade in the 60s, and He was influenced by a lot of different things. I mean, he was certainly influenced by the Texas blues men. He was influenced by T-Bone Walker. He was influenced by Albert King. He was influenced by all the R&B that he played. He was very influenced by Curtis Mayfield. If you listen to his rhythm guitar playing, he was very influenced by Curtis Mayfield. And, you know, he played with some of the seminal bands and figures of his day. He played with Little Richard in his band, and he also really notably played with the Isley Brothers. And the thing that's just funny about that is that the guitar had a particular role in R&B. It was, I mean, our rhythm and blues at that time was really a showcase for singers and not for instrumentalists.
Right.
And
good point.
And he was under manners. He was really under manners, you know. And I think he had a real conflict with Little Richard. Richard was the star of the show, and here comes this flashy guitar player, you know, putting the guitar behind his head like T-Bone Walker, and it was like, that was not on. And eventually, Jimmy, he did something really remarkable. I mean, he was from Seattle, and he went on, you could say, a hero's quest or hero's journey to find himself. I mean, it took him eventually to Harlem, it took him to the Greenwich Village, and it eventually took him to London. And it's kind of unprecedented. You've been mentioning the whole notion of migration amongst African Americans.
Right, right.
And he took a singular migration, which led to him becoming an international star on the one hand, but also one of the most influential musicians of all time, one of the most important American musicians, certainly of the 20th century.
Well, Vernon, you make a huge point about this kind of ethnic androgyny and national androgyny of Jimi Hendrix coming from a weird place like Seattle, which, you know, back in the 60s, you know, barely registered, long before Bill Gates and Seattle even, you know, had this kind of identity that it has today. What was it about, and you're a guitar player, what was it about his playing that made it so huge? I mean, he played in small bands, but if Jimi Hendrix was playing guitar, it was like a giant orchestra.
Well, he was on the one hand, he was very shy, but on the other hand, he was clearly a very expressive person, and he was relentlessly present. I mean to say, he was a real true improviser. He took all the influences that he had. I mean, including the songwriting influence of Bob Dylan and everything else, and he fused it with emerging technology. Because it's funny to think of a fuzz box or a wah-wah pedal or a phase shifter as technology, but that's exactly what they are. And they were cutting edge at the time. And he took full advantage of it. I mean, not only on the stage, but in the studio. So he did things in the studio with pitch shifting that really hadn't been done before, with layering guitars and things of that nature. But when he played live, he played at a really high volume. This is one of the famous things about him. But he played through these Marshall amps he played with a lot of different guitars, notably the Fender Stratocaster. And at that volume, the guitar takes on a completely different character. And you take that volume and you add to it something like a thing like a fuzz box. And then you get the guitar can become barely controllable. You get a lot of feedback. But he was able to take feedback and melody and meld them together and shape them and wield them together, which is, so he had this kind of orgiastic, ergonomic thing morphing between melody and noise and back again. So he could go from a whisper to a scream, and he had complete control of it, which was freaky, and then he also took his stage persona to a completely... Oops. that's
Little Hendrixes there. Yeah, there we go. The little Hendrixes in your house.
And the kittens are running wild.
Vernon, I just love how you've taken us in so many different directions. And, of course, you just make me want to listen to more music. Would he be a social critic today in the way he was in the 60s?
Well, absolutely he would be. Because the thing about Jimi Hendrix is that he... When you played a bit of Machine Gun.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear Machine Gun. Continue that thought. Hendrix as a social critic. What were you going to say?
Well, I think Jimmy had a real conflict in that he, on the one hand, was very identified with the movements of the 60s and at the same time, he was somewhat ambivalent about them. He was, on the one hand, he was a veteran. He was a paratrooper.
Right.
His father was a veteran. But he also saw that the Vietnam War was unjust. He was someone, on the one hand, that America rejected. He had to go to London to get recognition. But he had a yearning for connection with American brethren. And that was part of the thing that really was behind his social criticism. When he played Machine Gun with the Band of Gypsies, the fact that the Band of Gypsies was an all-African-American band was a kind of statement in and of itself.
Sure.
After having, Mitch Mitchell and Noel Redding as his band. You can hear, there's a line in the song, evil men make me kill you. Evil men make you kill me, even though we're only families apart.
Wow. And, that's why his music went back across the Pacific and was played by soldiers in Vietnam as part of a protest or an outrage of what they were going through in Vietnam. Vernon Reed, thanks so much for being on the program this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. I'm a fan.
All right. Founder of Living Color, Vernon Reed, talking about Jimi Hendrix 40 years after he left us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.